views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanks and pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday, it's all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. With that, today's a Tuesday, and I've got Senator Scott Kawasaki on the phone with me. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Steve. Great to be here.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this for a month.
Yeah, we have, and I appreciated the invite earlier. You know, it was just transportation back and forth between Juneau, and it's been a challenge. But back home for at least another 2 weeks before special session four begins in Juneau.
Special session four. Well, let's see. You went through 90 days, then 121. And special session one was 30 days. Special session two was 6 days. You just got done with special session three. Fourth time's a charm.
I've heard that. You know, I'm not sure if that's actually the case. We are working hard toward, you know, a couple things that the governor had in mind on the full PFP. The other thing is that the fiscal policy work group continued its work. Until July, or through July and through August, we presented a plan both with revenues, some taxes the governor had introduced, a full PFD, talking about both a spending cap and a constitutional PFD. So we have a lot of work on the docket. We've moved a little bit on the permanent fund dividend so that we pay that out early, but we still have a lot of work to do. And I still have hope that we can come together and use this 30 days to come up with a plan.
Yeah, you know, it's I was very impressed with the group that got together. It was very even across the board. You had members of the Senate majority, Senate minority, equal members. House majority, House minority, equal members. All sitting and working for 30 days. And you got a lot of stuff done. You had a good footprint, good floor plan. And then special session three, you go into it, and nothing happened from it. It just died or sat.
Right.
Good job. Great work.
Yeah.
It's just very frustrating, I'm sure, for you.
It is. And, you know, Representative Prock, Representative Hopkins from Fairbanks also were members of that group. You know, Representative Prox is in the office every day, and we talked a lot during that period of time. And, you know, we really just wanted to have a proposal forward, and to get all of those folks with really different opinions about how we move forward to come up with a proposal that we all signed in the end.
Yeah,
I think is a testament to the work that we did, and a testament to the idea that we need to move past the permanent fund dividend. We need to figure that out, so that the public really has confidence in what happens moving forward. And same for all the folks that rely on state revenues coming in, like the university, K-12 education, the public health sector, the public safety sector, and troopers. We need to come up with a proposal, and that's what we did in those. It was actually 6 weeks total that we worked together, 6 days a week, 72 hours total, having that proposal move forward and then having not a lot of action on it this last
session.
A little bit disappointing, but I think it's, you know, it's a legislature. We're tough to move. Legislature is really just a challenging place to sort of air those ideas. And everybody's got their opinion. And if they weren't on that fiscal policy work group, there were only 8 members and then 4 alternates. It was hard to try to convince the other folks that this is what we came up with. I don't agree with 100% of the issues, but this is what we should move forward on.
Or present it to everyone. These are our points. Present it to everyone versus presenting nothing.
Right. Right.
Well, I thank you for the work. And you just had a, you know, we didn't get you last Tuesday because you had something important. You had a Senate bill that you wrote, signed by the governor. Congratulations. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah. You know, this is something that we've been working on for several years. It deals with reciprocity for spouses of military folks. And, you know, we've seen military folks come up here, their spouses who may have professional licenses in other states, whether it's nursing, teaching, even like barbershop, haircutting, things like that. They come up and, you know, we want to make sure that those folks feel welcome when they come up and that they're able to practice their living here in Alaska and not have to be burdened by some of the regulations that exist to prevent them from actually performing their duties. You know, of course, this COVID-19 situation has really shown that we need a lot of nursing staff, a lot of folks that have professional licenses in healthcare, physicians, EMTs, nurses, CNAs, and to have them not be able to practice their trades as soon as they come up here is a real challenge. So what we did is we created a bill several years ago. It finally passed this year, almost unanimously in both houses, to really make sure that that happens. You know, I've had support from Representative Thompson, who also is a, you know, came up here with the military, other folks who helped support me along the way. And it finally got passed this year. The governor signed it. And so I was happy to see that happen.
You know, you brought up COVID.
Yes.
Okay. What do you have to, you know, you brought it up and you said it's okay for me to bring it up. How you doing?
Yeah,
how you doing?
Public.
Yeah. Okay. How you doing?
So I got back from Juneau last week, late last week, and then I tested the next morning. I went to Kmart, the line at Kmart, at the Kmart parking lot there on Airport Way, and you know, about 2.5 days later, sure enough, I got a positive test.
And you had gotten both your shots too.
Yeah, I got both my shots back in late April. Yeah. My second shot. I feel okay. I've got this really bad headache today and yesterday, but I didn't feel anything when I came back. I did it because out of an abundance of caution coming back from a high COVID area like Juneau, which has experienced like high COVID rates right now. I thought I should probably get tested when I get back, just, you know, to make sure that I'm not bringing COVID back to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
I wore my mask the entire time. My staff also wears masks in the office, so there weren't a lot of close contacts here in Fairbanks that I had. So I didn't think anything was going to happen. I went to a dinner party on Sunday, and as I pulled into the driveway, I got my result, and I looked at it, and I was shocked. It said I'm actually positive. And so, again, it took 2.5 days when I got my positive COVID result with no symptoms other than this now headache I had that last 24, 48 hours.
And so much for the dinner party.
Yeah, and the dinner party I had to cancel. They made accommodations. They said I could stay outside and they'll bring it. And I said, no.
Oh, why, thank you for that accommodation.
I'm sequestered in the house right now. I've got plenty of food. I appreciate all the support and appreciate all the comments that have been made, making sure that I'm healthy. But I feel okay. I just have this really bad headache and sniffles, and you can tell my nose is pretty plugged up.
But yeah.
Other than that, I'm really glad that it hasn't impacted me like it has folks that are in the hospital right now.
You know, I caught a cold about 3 weeks ago, and just, you know, I know a cold when I get a cold, and I know a flu when I get a flu. But it just seemed like in today's world, you know, our immunity systems are down. And everyone went back to school, everyone came out, and parents got it. You know, oh boy. And so we had a person that I know got in a work group that got COVID, and boom, all of a sudden all these parameters come back out just to protect everyone. And, you know, anyone who comes into my studio here, anything that they're going to touch, I have wiped down, and I brought it in myself, this Lysol, and kills 99% of viruses and bacteria, disinfectant wipes, you know, triple strength, you know, just take the precautions. Right. Just take the precautions.
Yeah.
Senator, yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages, okay?
All right, you bet.
Fairbanks, we have Senator Scott Kawasaki on the phone. If you have a question for him, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
For more than 40 years, the Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic has taken care of the Fairbanks community. From the thousands of patients cared for by our team of medical professionals to the nonprofits and community programs we support and sponsor, we want to make Fairbanks the best it can be. We're open and ready to serve you right now for any ailments of the head, neck, ear, sinus, or throat. To book an appointment or to find out more, you can log on to fairbanksent.com or call 456-7768. Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic. Building community. Helping people. Changing lives.
If you missed Milwaukee Demo Day at Denali Industrial Supply, don't worry. The Fall Milwaukee Tool Sale runs through the end of September, with new Milwaukee tools arriving every week. Huge savings on the tools you need to help you finish up those fall projects and jobs. Milwaukee Multi-Tool Kits, Bear Tools, Batteries, and Chargers. Get rebates up to $100 and up to 40% off select Milwaukee tools. The Fall Milwaukee Tool Sale through the end of September at Denali Industrial Supply. Under the big red roof on Van Horn Road.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
You're in for a real treat this Friday with a relaxing offer from Chino Hot Springs Resort. This is Interior Alaska's go-to place to unwind. For 50-50 Friday, you'll get an overnight stay in the Moose Lodge at Chino Hot Springs Resort with unlimited pool access for just $140, half off. Be on the station's website 9 a.m. Friday morning to grab this deal. It won't last long. It's the perfect time of year to visit the famous Chino Hot Springs, and now you can do it for half price with this amazing offer on 50-50 Friday.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at kfar660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at kfar660.com.
Weather brought to you by the Great Harvest Bread Company, your local bakery cafe in the Bentley Mall Annex on College Road. Stop by for breakfast or lunch today.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 38. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows level off around 21. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 39. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently is 32 degrees.
And now more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prus in the studio with Senator Scott Kawasaki on the phone with me. Now, let me get this straight. I'm going to be quite facetious here. you go through a 121-day session, three special sessions. You got a fourth special session to come on. And you also just got COVID, so you have to be sequestered now for a while. Am I about right reading this?
Well, yeah.
Oh, man.
So,
ow.
I spoke with the governor's office yesterday about, like, adding stuff to the special session and what – it's pretty nebulous about what the governor's requested. Again, it's the actual request of the governor that he sent out the day we adjourned was that act or acts relating to a sustainable fiscal policy. So I think there's a lot of other things that are there. Just, you know, for the record, I sent a letter out immediately following saying that I'd like him to add an appropriations bill for the rest of the PFD. Right now it's $1,100. I know there are some folks that are supportive of that, but there are other folks that would like to see the remainder. So I requested that. I requested some other issues regarding some of the tax proposals that the governor had requested earlier but hadn't introduced.
What were some of those tax proposals that he requested?
So the governor had introduced some tax proposals back in August to the fiscal policy work group.
Mm-hmm.
That included a change to the oil tax formula, basically the per barrel credit, mm-hmm. which costs about $1 billion of state revenue every year. He requested some changes to the S Corp related issues dealing with BP and Hill Corp, a gas tax, gambling fees or gambling taxes, and a sales tax proposal. So I requested that he just introduce the bills so that we can just debate them.
Yeah.
If those are his priorities. Again, there wasn't something like an income tax. That wasn't in there. The head tax was not in there. But he did propose a number of other revenue measures to get the ball rolling.
The discussion going, okay.
Yeah, and I'm supportive of having those discussions and weighing them out. And, you know, so is the legislature. The legislature has really done its good job of trying to find ways to balance the budget, not have a huge deficit, also providing a permanent fund dividend that the people can utilize. The PFD is such an important part to the economy, especially in times of COVID, where folks may have found themselves out of work. And so that's part of the reason why I requested that he introduce an appropriations bill.
You know, my personal thought on this, and I've said this on the air, if there's a year for the PFD as it's designed right now, this is the year. Because right. What you said, and also the extra revenue that came into the state from the COVID from the federal government, if you're going to have one, that, you know, the 2250, whatever it is, this would be the year. You ready for a phone call?
Yeah, you bet.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Scott Kawasaki, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Yeah, hi, Scott. I appreciate the work you do and support you in general, but I got to say, this whole PFD thing, it's amazing that it's created such strange bedfellows in our legislature. I mean, that's stating it mildly, I think. And you're one of those strange bedfellows. And I just want to know that, you know, the governor wants to enshrine the PFD formula in the Constitution, which I think is a horrible move. But it was created, what was it, 84 or whatever, that by statute. And I think some of the modern Democrats like yourself, you know, think we should follow the law. And Bill Walkowski, I think that's why he thinks. I'm not speaking for him, but I suppose that's why he thinks, you know, what he would normally be against if it were a separate issue, you know, would he be against such a large PFD? But anyway, why can't we? You know, no one has proposed that I know of just revising the statute and change the formula and whatever, just do it by statute, and it doesn't need at all to be in the Constitution. Why hasn't anybody proposed that on either side? I'll hang up and listen.
Mel, thank you for the phone call, sir.
Sure, Mel. I'll just say that it actually has been proposed several times, changing the permanent fund dividend, tracking it to inflation, indexing it. It's been talked about since 2014 or 2015, in fact. Both Republicans, Representative Millett at the time introduced one, Representative Pruitt, the Republican also from Anchorage, introduced it at the time. It has been talked about as far as changing the PFD formula in the statute. The problem, and I think really what it comes down to, is the public's trust. And if we you know, we've already broken statutes. The legislature has broken statutes by vote when it came to the PFD. The PFD should be much higher than it is now, but because of the Supreme Court case, the Willikowski versus State, basically it's subject to appropriation. The legislature's taken that as an opportunity to say, well, we're going to have to appropriate the PFD. They've chosen a smaller PFD than is in statute. And we can change that statute, absolutely, but I think that the public trust right now is, if you don't put it in the Constitution, then why wouldn't you just break the statute later on when you needed the money? And that's why I sort of support a PFD in the Constitution. I've been pretty, you know, pragmatic about it, that if we could do that and we can set it in the Constitution in some way, that the public will say, okay, well, it's in the Constitution and there's trust built. And I think we need to restore that trust. So that's why I've been supportive of that. Again, it has been talked about. I've supported measures to put it in the statute, but ultimately I think that we need to look past that. And I think a constitutional provision probably is necessary.
You know, it gets interesting. There are 60 legislators and one governor. You put all 61 people in a room, you're going to have 61 different thoughts on what should be done.
or more.
Yeah. Well, my plan A is, but I like my plan B too. So I got, yeah. So we got 70 now.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Redistricting, that's coming about. You know, it's hard for me to, you know, look at the maps and see what they're exactly doing, but where you're at, it's basically unchanged except for, and correct me from the redistricting board, what they've looked at or what they've proposed or their first map. And what they did is they took Lakeview and put it back into District 1. And, you know, they're calling it, I think, District 31 now. And I always like being in District 1, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, but changes every 10 years has happened. Any thoughts on what the redistricting board is doing?
Sure. I'm watching it from afar. A lot of folks are really embedded in it, really trying to figure out like what their districts are going to look like. Ultimately, it's going to change a lot. And so, I mean, from the standpoint of I'd like to run in the future and hopefully I'm in a district that is competitive, I'm not really looking at it that way. I can tell you that Fairbanks needs to be represented accurately. And right now, the two board plans, one of the board plans especially, undercounts the number of people in the city of Fairbanks or the city in the borough of Fairbanks. And what we need to do is make sure that that plan goes down. You know, we did lose some people, but we didn't lose as much as rural Alaska.
Yeah.
So some of our district will stretch out to rural Alaska currently like it does now. Senator Bishop represents from Tok to Nanana, all the interior villages all the way south to Copper Valley and interior, like near the university. So it's a district that's a huge district, but some of those are necessities.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that Fairbanks has the most clout, most power when it goes down. Otherwise, we'll be outnumbered by the folks in Anchorage again.
Yeah, you know, I classify Senator Bishop's district about basically the size of Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado all together.
Yeah.
Literally.
Pretty much. That's literally the size of the district. And there are districts that are even larger than that.
Yeah.
But because Senator Bishop lives in urban Alaska, he lives just down the street, down College Road, down University Avenue, his district has to stretch out that far in order to take up enough land mass and population to accurately represent what the districts are supposed to look like. Again, we want to make sure that Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough is accurately represented in Juneau, and it's probably going to be another district like that size in the final plan that'll come out in a month from now.
Yeah. Well, Senator, we're going to take a quick commercial break for some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back in a bit, okay?
Excellent. Thank you.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Taking center stage on the world stage.
President Biden, amid tensions with China, tells the UN General Assembly that the U.S. isn't seeking a new Cold War, rather a peaceful resolution with any nation that he says steps up.
Because we'll all suffer the consequences of our failure. We do not come together.
The president also calling out human rights abuses in countries like China.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. The Justice Department plans to challenge a partnership between JetBlue and American Airlines on antitrust grounds.
The airlines announced the alliance more than a year ago, saying marketing each other's flights on some routes would help them to compete at airports in the Northeast. Though they agreed to operate with restrictions, the Justice Department now believes the partnership threatens competition and could lead to higher airfares.
Fox's Jimmy Casola. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTVF Channel 11 reports that Capstone Family Medicine has temporarily halted rapid COVID-19 tests for leisure travel at their test sites. According to Mickey Boyer, Director of Development for Capstone Family Medicine, the issue stems from a shortage of rapid tests from Abbott Laboratories, from whom Capstone acquires their test kits. It's important to understand that right now, Abbott is having a hard time meeting the demand for rapid tests, Boyer explained. And so they have re-ramped up their facility they have created to create tests and should have product available again sometime early October. But for right now, Capstone has a limited supply of rapid tests, and so we are using those tests for people who are symptomatic or are needing surgeries or have an immediate travel issue. We're really limiting the use of those. But Boyer said there are still plenty of transcription medicated amplification or TMA tests available for those in need of testing. We do have a TMA test that is able to come back within the 72-hour travel window. When people are traveling, we can actually meet their needs. We have all the testing supplies that we need for travel.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
It's not just KFC, it's Fairbanks KFC. And while College Road is temporarily closed for upgrades, the Airport Way restaurant is doubling down to keep that chicken coming. Fairbanks KFC, finger licking good, and now hiring.
Hi, I'm Kristen Kelly, and I'm running for Assembly Seat G. In the 30 years I've called Fairbanks home, I know this is a great place to live, work, and raise a family. Many of you have told me you're worried Fairbanks is falling behind. Let's face it, we spend too much time arguing without positive action, not putting our community first. We need extra tough leadership now. That's me. I'd be humbled to receive your vote October 5th.
Paid for by Kristen Kelly for Assembly. 4536 Milan Drive, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99712.
The young woman lay next to her boyfriend in the dark. The beatings were regular now, and her children were terrified. She was unmarried with 4 children and 8 months pregnant. There was no one coming to save her. Listening to him breathe, she thought about her babies, then slipped away and gathered them. This was it. No time for coats or shoes, not even in winter. She knew about the Fairbanks rescue mission, but couldn't find it as she drove in the icy darkness. She called for directions, but still couldn't find the mission, and her tank was nearing empty. The woman on the phone remembered the brightly lighted cross above the mission. "Do you see it?" "Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now," she said. Without hesitating, she drove her family to the cross and was saved. Warm and well-fed, the family snuggled into the safety of the mission. This is what we do at the Fairbanks Rescue Mission, and you need to be a part of it. Please donate today at fairbanksrescuemission.org. That's fairbanksrescuemission.org.
Auto Trim Design is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner, your source for news and conversation on guns and your Second Amendment rights, hunting, local events, important legislation, and more. Auto Trim Design is an Alaskan company offering products to help you get the most from your car or truck. For moose lights, auto starts, bug shields, spray-on bed liners, signs, graphics, and more, visit Auto Trim Design. Listen in every Thursday morning at 11 to Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR Radio.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Scott Kawasaki on the phone. Now, with the fiscal plan that everyone put together, you also looked at a spending cap, too, for the state of Alaska. Could you describe how it would be implemented, how it would work?
Sure. What the governor had introduced during his special session call is a constitutional spending cap, basically a revision to what's in the Constitution now. There's some thoughts that the constitutional spending cap that's in there right now is a little bit too broad and actually doesn't meet the needs of where we're at today. It was something that was put in place back in the 70s and, you know, has sort of stood the test of time, but the governor does want to change it and revise it. There are some folks that are interested in changing it a little bit and revising it down. There's been some statutory statutes that have come forward from various members of the legislature to try and revise that number. I think that we should have a spending cap. We actually do have a constitutional spending cap, but it hasn't met the goals of where folks want to see spending to be today. It basically would say that, you index to inflation, you're supposed to spend less than a certain dollar amount on all services. The one thing that I'm a little bit worried about not taking into account is that what happens if we have disasters like we have today? And we do need to take in revenue from the federal government and make sure that gets on the street. That's one thing. There's other parts to it. The fact that we have an incredible backlog of deferred maintenance. That's whether you've got a pothole in your road near you or whether the school roof is falling down. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed there. Yeah. And those things tend to not rise to the level of the budget because we don't think about maintenance, but it is something that needs to be done. So there's some pros and cons to having a spending cap as the governor's proposed, but I'm totally willing to look at it and move forward on something that would work out for all of us.
You're a graduate of the University of Alaska. Yeah. How are they doing with their enrollment? I mean, we're coming into a new era of education. My nephew goes there. He's in the fire science major. And, you know, last semester, a lot of his classes were by Zoom. And this semester, a lot of them are in place in the classroom.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the University of Alaska Fairbanks is one of those. I mean, it's a big economic driver up here. There's a lot of federal funds that come in. There's a lot of international funds and private funds that come to the university to do research and to do the things that universities are supposed to do. It's an amazing asset, I think, to the state of Alaska to have a university like that. And I heard over the last year that the numbers and the profit actually, they don't make a profit, but they raise revenues. And mm-hmm. So the revenues were actually higher than anticipated. A lot of students, whether they did it in person, like you have to do in labs and things like that, or whether you had to do it online, were participants. This year, we should get numbers here pretty soon because school started at the beginning of September. And so there are numbers that are trickling in, but it looks like enrollment is doing fairly well. And there's, again, folks that wanted to participate in person, so they've gone in person. There's other classes that can be done online, so they've done online and Zoom. They've really adapted to the situation. And, you know, if you look at universities across the rest of the United States, there's universities that have completely shuttered, big yeah. universities.
Yeah.
Whether private institutions or public institutions that have just shuttered their doors. So I really like the fact that the university has sort of taken this COVID-19 issue in stride and really tried to advance enrollment and make sure that students got the best bang for their buck.
You know, in times of a fiscal crisis, an astute person will reinvent themselves and become more competitive. And we had a declining enrollment for about 10 years, and now it seems like that's capped at its, and now it's starting to increase. And their e-learning systems and what they're focusing on as a university is more focused. Just my thought. Just my thought.
No, I think you're exactly right, Dave. I think that the university sort of rebranded itself. They were on that way anyways because of a lot of the cuts that happened from the legislature over the years. We've stabilized the cuts. The governor's initiative to have like a three-year system of cuts has ended. So now we're looking at sort of rebuilding and rebuilding better. I think the university, the Board of Regents have done a great job in making sure that that focus continues.
You know, a couple things about the university. When you are having uncertainty, you lose both a student population that might not come, and you also lose your professors because they're looking at uncertainty and they're going to take jobs elsewhere for certainty. And it seems like we're past that now. But on the bad side of it is the hardest ticket in town to get was the Governor's Cup hockey game. And there's no Anchorage Seawolves hockey team. And, you know, that was the rivalry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they had to balance out needs versus wants.
Yeah.
And it was a real challenge, I know, that a lot of those folks had to try and figure out what the needs of the university are versus the wants. And, you know, they just had to balance that out. And, you know, I hand it to the board. The board did a lot of research. They talked to a lot of folks. They heard a lot of public testimony, and then they made a decision. And, you know, I hope one day that we're out of this COVID mess, that we can start to rebuild the university, that we can start to rebuild our structures that we have in place and build them better than they were before. Because we've seen this COVID-19 pandemic is sort of, you know, we lost, I mean, how many boats actually landed in Whittier this year?
Yeah.
Or Juneau? Or how many hotels were actually shuttered this year because they didn't have the people that they expected? Then how many small businesses also had to either cut folks or have lower hours because they had less demand? And then, again, less staff were needed for those limited hours. I mean, it's a real challenge. I think we're moving through that. We're moving past it. COVID certainly has sort of done us well. I mean, it has really rogered us good, but I think we're moving past it. And I just hope, I'll just make an appeal to folks to get vaccinated, get tested, especially. Testing is the most important part so that you can sequester. And if you do have some active form of COVID, that you don't pass it on to your loved ones and those that you're around. That's a real big deal.
You know, going back to the university, I think that the hiring of Pat Pitney was a very strategic success.
Yes.
You know, she was a past budget director for the university. Mm-hmm. So she knew fiscally what they're doing and how they're doing it. And you bring her in now to look at the overall operations, and she knows what will work financially and what may not work financially and how to get more. She was a student there, you know, she and an athlete. So,
right.
You know, you're just checking all the boxes here. And boy, I thought that that move was just a very perfect strategic move. Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, you bet, Dave.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Scott Kawasaki, and your name is?
Susan.
Hello, Susan. How are you doing today?
Good. I know something about the university. It's supposed to be a land-grant university.
Susan, we're getting a little bit of background there on you. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, the radio's on in the next room.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead and shut it off. And it's a land grant. It's an air, space, land, and sea grant university.
And it's supposed to pay its own way. It's not supposed to be sucking off the state. My opinion.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Susan. Well.
Yeah. So just to address Susan's comments, yeah, it's an air, space, land, and sea institution. It's one of the few across the United States, and that should be pretty respected. As far as being able to fund its own, you know, there has been talk about a land grant to pass on to the university so that they're able to pay for their own bills, and that happens. I mean, it's happened for decades, and it's never actually passed the legislature, but it's more and more talked about how the university can be a little bit more self-sufficient. I don't think that there'll ever be a university that is not somewhat sufficient or somewhat needing state dollars. And again, the university is in the Constitution. It says that the university shall be governed by a board of directors, which is the Board of Regents, and that it shall be funded by the university or by the state, because it is a state priority. It was built in the Constitution in 1959. So there is a need for state funding, and there is a need for them to be more self-sufficient. And having a land grant, I think, is one of those things that should be pushed.
Yeah, and now here's one for you. It's a land grant university. But it's also the second to the smallest land-grant university in the United States, and they only have approximately 110,000 active acres of land to work with.
Okay, and
you compare that to, say, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. They are the actual largest landowner in the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, you're sort of handcuffing the university by saying, be profitable.
Right.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, okay? Fairbanks,
okay,
we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
See your world in perfect focus. Every task and moment in your life, family, work, and play. The big picture on distant horizons, the details up close. Protect your eyes. Visit optometrist Dr. Damian Delzer. Family practice with a strong emphasis on medical eye disease and pediatric care. Dr. Delzer is part of your Eye Clinic of Fairbanks team. Ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians providing complete medical and surgical eye care. Your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
Creamer's Field started as a dairy with three cows and some horses. Today, it's cherished as a migratory waterfowl refuge. The mission of the Friends of Creamer's Field is clear: to inspire environmental stewardship and lifelong learning through experience, awareness, and appreciation of the natural and historical resources of Creamer's Field. Volunteers staff the Farmhouse Visitor Center, provide guided nature walks, and organize educational events throughout the year. Visit friendsofcreamersfield.org to find out how you can help. This message brought to you by the radio station 529 Fifth Avenue.
If your wish is authentic Italian dishes, say yes to garlic, say yes to Giraldo's, and nothing beats a homemade brick oven pizza. Say yes to garlic, say yes to Giraldo's. A blend of old world and new world recipes, just like a mama used to make, a taste that's sure to please. Giraldo's Italian restaurant and pizzeria. Say yes to garlic, say yes to Giraldo's.
After nearly 2 years, the Comedy Showcase is back with the hilarious Lachlan Patterson from The Tonight Show, Comedy Central, and Last Comic Standing. Catch him live Friday and Saturday night, September 24th and 25th at the Pioneer Park Theater. Drinks provided both nights by Goldie's. COVID restrictions in place Friday night, so make sure to bring a proof of vaccination. No restrictions Saturday night. Shows are at 8 o'clock. Tickets are only $25, available at alaskacomedy.com. Alaska Comedy Showcase with Lachlan Patterson, brought to you by Zach's Restaurant at Sophie Station and KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 38. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Lows level off around 21. High temperatures reach up to 39 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 33 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio with Senator Scott Kawasaki on the phone with me. Senator, when are you going to be looking at taking another test down there on Airport Road?
Well, so I will probably take a test at the end of the 10-day, which will be on Friday of this week, or Saturday of this week, when I first felt some sort of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of normal. And I would suggest folks, if they want to do it early, and then also go to the south entrance. The south entrance is twice as fast. There's less cars there.
the helpful hint from the person who's done it before. You ready for a phone call?
Yep, you bet.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Scott Kawasaki, and your name is?
Hey, David. It's Will Stapp here. Hey, Senator Kawasaki. How are you?
Hey, Will. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, sorry to hear about the COVID. But other than that, I have a question in kind of the university system. You know, it seems to me that we have these fantastic programs, again, with the kind of Poker Flats Rocket Research Range and our drone program. And though kind of the awareness kind of piece on the marketing is getting better, it seems like we have a really great opportunity to work better in partnership with kind of our military installations. And I know that SpaceX is considering, you know, their Starlink facility in North Pole, but it seems like maybe there's something the state can do kind of on the coordination piece between these different kind of agencies and these private sector companies to really kind of facilitate the kind of advantages that our school has, you know, in light of these programs. So I'm just curious what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Will. I mean, we've got some great assets up here. A lot of them, you know, thankfully came from the federal government. I mean, when you talk about Poker Flats was a project from NASA originally. The university, the Geophysical Institute celebrated its 75th anniversary. We have LV2, which was an international effort with the Japanese, the Russians, a lot of the northern countries that donated to create LV2 up there with the big satellite dish. And, you know, we have – the state has a couple things. We have ADA, which is the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, which is sort of the organization to do that. We have AEA, which is the Alaska Energy Authority, which is a state entity, which also does that. We have the Aerospace Corporation, which also does a lot of stuff with Poker Flats. That's the facility that's located down in Kodiak that's done some stuff with SpaceX recently. We have all of these assets. And I agree with you. We're not doing a good enough job about advertising about what we have here in Alaska, and using sort of the university as the real asset to basically say, you know, we've got all these PhD folks up here. We've got some stuff that you cannot study anywhere else in the United States, much less the world, unless you go to like Norway or some of the other polar region sites that we do work with.
Also,
we need to do a lot more work.
Yeah, and also, well, it's sort of the nature of the beast. If you look at the model of a university, it's not for business per se, like myself and you might look at. You know, they're first of all looking at education, then research, and then from that, how do you transport it into a viable product for use? And you know, you hit a great example, the drone program, a great example.
Yeah.
And, you know, the drone program specifically, you know, the talk of the expansion of kind of the Northern Warfare Training Center. And, you know, I first came to Alaska as an infantry guy in the Striker Brigade. And, like, the thought of our drone program not kind of like working close with these kind of active duty combat brigades we have, you know, on the military side of kind of drone use is like just like, come on, guys, you know.
Yeah. And a lot of the drone program here that the university has, it started in the office next to Luke Hopkins when he was mayor.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, let's give credit where it's due. And that's one of the newer things. And, you know, the Geophysical Institute, you know, they have a 6-to-1 for every dollar that is invested in the Geophysical Institute, $6 trickles down back through the economy from them. And so that's one way to look at it too. But again, they have a whole separate business model up there, and boy, if you can figure out that arcade system there, great. Will, thank you for the phone call, sir. You have a great afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah, boy, and you know, the university has so many unique elements to it for such a small population in the state of Alaska. And that's one thing I say, that, you know, no matter who you are in the state of Alaska, You can get an education through the University of Alaska, period, by this being a resident. Doesn't matter what your GPA is. You'll be accepted there. So this it's very fortuitous of us to use that.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Well, what do you, you know, you got another, okay, let's get past your next special session. We got about 4 minutes left here. What is your office working on in the future for the next session?
Sure. We're always working on issues dealing, again, with the budget, because the budget seems to be the number one issue that always sort of holds us up in legislative session. So that's something we're working on. Right now, we're working on issues dealing with campaign finance reform. Of course, there was a Supreme Court ruling that basically said that there are no limits to fundraising. And, you know, just personally, I feel that the public does not want to see an unlimited number of dollars in political campaigns.
I totally agree.
We are working on that. And it doesn't matter on what side of the aisle you're on.
Yeah.
If you're on one side or the other, because if we suddenly don't have limits, you'll have legislators that don't care about what they're doing in the legislature. They will be fundraising 24/7. That's all they'll be doing.
Yeah,
and that's not a good way to run a republic.
Yeah, they won't have the interface with the smaller donors and the people either. They're just going to be okay. I want corporate. That's all I want.
That's right.
And
yeah.
You know, now your office, you guys, you know, with you and Joe there as your chief of staff. You guys have great interface with not just your constituents, but the interior. You really do.
We pride ourselves on the idea that this is, you know, we represent. I don't have one boss. I've got 38,000 bosses, and those bosses all tell me what I should do, and I need to go out to the bosses to make sure I'm doing what they want me to do. And we do pride ourselves on ensuring that we have that relationship with everybody in the district, whether they agree with us or not.
Yeah.
It's important that we know what the folks want us to do when we go down to Juneau.
Or when someone in Fairbanks has an issue with a state agency.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, yeah. And there's, you know, there's folks that call us all the time, and it's not an issue necessarily with the state, but it's an issue with the federal government or the local government. And we try and guide people through the process because I get it. It's a tough process to navigate through, and for folks that never talk to their local elected officials, or, you know, the only thing they have to talk about is, say, property taxes, and how do I pay property taxes? Well, we'll help you figure that out. Or a person that has problems with Medicare, which is a federal program, we'll help you get through that.
Yeah.
And something that we like to do, we want to make sure that folks have a good time trying to figure out things and don't have it burden them. And, you know, sometimes these are bureaucratic processes that are just tough and challenging for folks. But, you know, our office has really tried to reach out, make sure that folks know that they're welcome to come to us, and we will try and find a solution to the issue that they have dealing with government.
Well, Senator, I thank you. We're at the end of our hour here. I greatly appreciate your availability to call in and share with us information. You know, it's going to be funny because tomorrow I got Representative Wool on as us sort of bugging him this morning. He got done running the marathon and he recovered.
Yeah.
So everyone's on the mend.
Hey, and I want to thank you, Dave, for doing the thing that you did out there in Two Rivers.
Oh, thank you.
Those folks also are on the mend. And it's a relief, I think, for a lot of folks that, you know, called our office and said, what can be done? You know, we're worried, we're scared. Folks didn't sleep for many hours. And I just wanted to thank you for doing that that barbecue out there last weekend and getting those folks all together. Because I think you need to heal from the situation that they had out there.
Exactly right. Senator, you have a great day, and I will talk to you later, sir. You have a great day.
All right.
Thank you again. Bye.
Take it easy, Dave. You bet.
Fairbanks, I will see you on tomorrow.
News and conversation. KFA.